Time to get smarter about it all. Our guest now, a longtime returning champ to our show. You hear him nationally, and we always appreciate his time jumping on with us. He is the host of the outstanding Wake and Rake podcast on the X platform, Link It All, from at Danny Vietti. Danny V, how's life treating you down there in California?
It's a cool, sunny, and 85 here this week in Sacramento. So it's hard not to enjoy oneself down here, I gotta say.
Okay, so one of the most unique comparisons I've heard is from you, Scottie Scheffler versus Tiger. No. Colorado Rockies versus the 2024 White Sox? No. So, Danny, share with us this competition between the brand-new British Open champ and this Colorado team making a run at the wrong kind of history.
Yeah, it's kind of been a running joke here between ourselves over here at CBS Sports and the Colorado Rockies and their social team. So this was back in May after Scotty had won his first major of the year. And so when Scotty won that first major of the year, his total wins in the month of May was three. He had three wins, three tournament PGA wins, I should say. And at the time, and this was through the month of May, the Colorado Rockies had won three games of the 28 games that they had played. So Scotty had the same amount of wins as the Rockies had through the month of May. Now, fast forward here to July 21st, where Scotty wins his second major. He wins his fourth PGA event of the year. And Scheffler, although different context, is once again outpacing the Rockies. Scotty Scheffler has four PGA wins this season, 16 total events played. The Colorado Rockies have won three series this year, 32 total series played. So Scotty has won more tournaments this year than the Rockies have won series.
Wow, that is just painful. I want to get to this fella named Tarek Skubal of the Tigers. One of the things I always loved about Greg Maddux was that what I always used to call his lethal precision, but he's got that, and he could also just overpower you, where Maddux was more of a guile guy. Injuries meant a slower start to his career, but what are you seeing? I mean, because this guy right now is just dominant and elite.
You know what's remarkable is Tarek Skubal is on pace right now to become the first starting pitcher, qualified starting pitcher, to lead the league in both strikeout per nine and also walk per nine. I mean, this is a rate that we've never seen before, a pitcher that is striking out guys at an 11.6 strikeout per nine rate, and he's only allowed 16 walks this year, 164 strikeouts, 16 walks. This is all-time stuff. You know, this is the way that pitching has evolved up to this point, but we're seeing a lot of strikeouts, we're seeing a lot of velocity, but we have not seen a player at this level strike out guys with this much velocity, with this much command, while also not walking guys at an insanely high rate. The closest that we've gotten in recent history is Jacob DeGrom. And DeGrom is a guy that, you know, frankly, hasn't been able to stay as healthy as one would hope. And so Tarek Skubal right now is on pace to win another Cy Young. And there's little argument against it with consideration and respect to Garrett Crochet of Boston, because he is the most dominant pitcher in baseball right now. And in my opinion, between he and Paul Skenes, I mean, we have two of the truly most talented young arms that we've seen in the game of baseball for a while.
Yeah, he takes working on top to a new level. Talking MLB, Danny Vietti, Wake and Rake podcast. You know I'm going to hit on the Yankees. They're 11 over 500. Obviously, the Gerrit Cole injury and spring hurt. Hopefully, getting Luis Gil back soon. Devin Williams has not been the closer they'd hoped. There's holes at third. The division is tough. What's your read on, I guess, the legitimacy of them as AL pennant contenders?
Yeah, right now they're a playoff team. My biggest question with the Yankees is what their ceiling is. Because if you look at the statistics of this roster, they've had a lot of players truly outperform their expectations. I mean, Paul Goldschmidt this year, I don't think too many people would have expected a .289 batting average this year. I don't think too many people would have expected Trent Grisham to have an .834 OPS and 17 home runs. I don't think too many people would have expected that Austin Wells would have 14 home runs. Cody Bellinger sitting at a high clip, .823 OPS. There are a lot of players on this Yankees roster outperforming expectations. Pitching-wise, Carlos Rodon, 3.08 ERA. That's one of the best that he's had. It's the best he's had since being in New York. Clark Schmidt, 3.32 ERA. Max Fried, 2.43 ERA. The list goes on and on. These guys are outperforming expectations. And the reason I say that is that because on paper, this is a decent ball club. And a decent ball club is good enough to get you into the postseason. And similar to what we saw with the Mets last year, you hope that that decent roster can get hot at the right time. But I question their ceiling because I don't think they have as much talent as some of these other teams in the American League, including Detroit. And at least on, you know, according to the stats right now and according to their most recent series that they had, they don't have the same amount of talent as even Toronto in their own division right now. So I think where the Yankees stand right now is they've got to improve over at third base. And there have been rumors of, you know, Eugenio Suarez, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. You know, names are being floated right now with the trade deadline coming up in about a week and a half. I don't think Jose Ramirez is going to get dealt, but in a perfect world, that would certainly be a perfect fit. But I think the Yankees have got to improve because right now I think they're a decent team that are hoping to get hot. But one way to alleviate that let's hope we get hot is by adding talent so that you don't have to hope to get lucky. You're just that talented.
I want to get to the Mariners. Obviously, Cal Raleigh's a great story. They swept at Detroit, took 2 or 3 from Houston, just got Logan Gilbert back in the rotation. But you know, there have been injuries. Bryce Miller, Jorge Polanco had a horrible May and June, I guess. Are we on repeat? Is this just, again, the Mariners just got to find a way to add some lumber to be taken seriously?
They just strike out at such a high clip. And it was the same exact story a year ago. And they went out at the trade deadline and they went and added Randy Rosarena, who is an all-star caliber player in his own right and certainly deserves a big-time respect over the career that he's had. But Randy Rosarena is another guy that has one of the highest strikeout percentages in baseball. And you look at the highest strikeouts in the league right now, they're not so great teams. You have the Colorado Rockies at the top. They've struck out more than anybody in baseball. After that, the Angels are about middle of the pack. Boston Red Sox, middle of the pack. After that, you got the Seattle Mariners right there. So you've got to be able to put the ball in play. And there's kind of a misconception that, you know, in baseball, you don't have to worry about striking out anymore. You just got to hit the ball out of the ballpark. Well, that's true to a certain degree. But at the end of the day, you can't be so reliant on the long ball that you're striking out with runners in scoring position. You're striking out not being able to get that guy in from third base with less than two outs. You've got to be able to put the ball in play. And that's been Seattle's Achilles heel for the past two seasons, if not longer, is they have just not been able to put the ball in play at the clip that they need to succeed.
Talking MLB, Danny Vietti, the Wake and Rake podcast, to the Nationals, the Cubbies. Great race with the Brewers, who are sizzling hot. And offensively, I keep hearing 1 through 9. But then that rotation thins out a little bit after Matt Boyd, the rookie, Cade Horton, and, of course, Shota at the top. What strikes you about the Chicago's ability maybe to make a deep run into October?
I think they're as comparable lineup-wise to any of the teams in the National League, which is really saying something. Because coming into the season, myself included, it was the Dodgers versus the field. You know, the Dodgers lineup with Mookie and Freddie and Ohtani and Muncy and all these guys, it was going to be very tough to compete with. And some people were mentioning, like, the Mets, you know, maybe they have enough offensive firepower to be able to compete. Maybe the Atlanta Braves would have enough offensive firepower. Well, middle of the season here, the Cubs, without a doubt, have as much offensive firepower, if not more, than the Los Angeles Dodgers. And they're healthier, right now. With obviously the Dodgers have all their pitchers on the shelf right now on the injured list, and they don't have Max Muncy right now. The Cubs are healthy, and I've personally always, you know, put my faith in guys that are vouching for new contracts, and that is Kyle Tucker. Kyle Tucker is going to be a free agent at year's end, and he has been an all-star, phenomenal player, MVP type caliber player all season long. Michael Bush, OPS up over 800. Seiya Suzuki should have been an all-star this year. Pete Crow Armstrong, he's on pace for a 40-40 season potentially, 30-30 for sure. Ian Happ, Dansby Swanson, this lineup is deep. You mentioned the starting rotation. They're starting to get a little healthier, but I have a feeling this front office, due to that Kyle Tucker contract, not knowing whether he's going to be part of the organization after this year, it seems like they are all in. And they have no reason not to be all in, because this is a team that is certainly competitive enough to be able to topple the Dodgers, topple anybody in the East, topple anybody in the Central, and frankly, anybody in Major League Baseball, because that offense is legit.
Yeah, they got like an old school AL offense before the NL adopted the DH. Let's get to your home state. Giants got out well. We're in pretty good shape. A little bit of a skid here as they go to Atlanta. I was never 100% sure about their staying power. A healthy Jung-Hoo Lee in center kind of snapped out of a little slumber. The bounce back of Robbie Ray. For those who haven't caught on, Verlander still hasn't won a game. Are they a team who, as is, can hang with L.A. or San Diego?
They're kind of like the Yankees. You know, they pitch well and they stay in ball games, but they're a little too top-heavy offensively, in my opinion. You know, Jung-Hoo Lee, Elliot Ramos, Rafi Devers, Adames is coming along. That's a pretty good 1-2-3-4 punch. After that, it just kind of slacks off a bit. Chapman's very hit-and-miss. Yastrzemski can be hit-and-miss. Casey Schmidt, he's just coming off the injury list here, and he's, you know, hasn't really been showed enough consistency to stay in a regular-time role. Similar with, like, you know, Luis Matos, like, you know, Wilmer Flores is a nice player, not a great player. There's a lot of nice. There's not a whole lot of great, in my opinion, with the exception of Devers. And this is a team, you look at their team stats, they're 26th in batting average. They're really not slugging with anybody either. They're 27th with a .370 slugging percentage. A team with a good rotation but lacks firepower offensively. And in this National League, kind of like we just talked about, you got to be able to swing it. It's the Dodgers, it's the Cubs, it's the Mets, it's the Phillies. These are teams that hit the ball out of the yard and convert with runners in scoring position. And San Francisco has not shown the ability to do so this year.
And lastly, we've mentioned the Dodgers in passing. It's the first time since 2018. Winning percentage is below 60. Milwaukee just swept them twice. Kershaw just lost his mind in a post game. I think two appearances, they got Tyler Glasnow back. You mentioned there's a lot of injuries. And it has not been a stellar season at short for Mookie. What pops into your mind now, good, bad, or indifferent, about the defending champs?
You mentioned it. It's Mookie Betts. That's really what's been lacking this year. And you look at his numbers in his metric ratings, it's just not Mookie Betts-like. With the exception of his chase percentage, whiff percentage, and strikeout percentage, those are pretty much on par, but he's not hitting the ball nearly as hard as he usually does. If you look at his average exit velocity this year, 88.4. That's one of the lowest of his careers. Hard hit percentage, 35.3. That's the 20th percentile in Major League Baseball. That is not the Mookie Betts that we all know and love. This is just one man's theory here, but Mookie Betts put in a ton of work this offseason to become an everyday shortstop for the Los Angeles Dodgers team that needed an everyday shortstop. I question, you know, if how much work was being put in defensively. Maybe his timing and the amount of work that he usually puts in offensively in the offseason had an impact on his offensive numbers. Not to mention he had a sickness coming into this year where I want to say he lost 30, 40 pounds. And so he was already at a disadvantage coming into the year because he wasn't packing as much weight as he normally has. I think when Mookie goes, this team goes, because they're starting to get healthier. Blake Snell just pitched in a rehab game. Tyler Glasnow back. They're hoping to get their starting rotation healthy. If they can get Mookie Betts going and get that core going at the top of their lineup, I think they'll be just fine.
So much good information. He's a walking research guide. He's Danny Vietti. Check out the Wake and Rake podcast with former Red Sox third baseman Will Middlebrooks on the X platform at Wake and Rake Pod for our guest at Danny Vietti. Danny V, always greatly appreciate the time, your unique lens into MLB. Wishing you and yours well. Talk again soon, and thanks so much, Danny. Really appreciate it.
Anytime, Steve. Appreciate you having me.
All right, take it easy.